just want to talk about, you know, things along the lines of, as I have up here this evening, seen and unseen. Just the awareness of, you know, the spiritual realm, the natural realm. And just the awareness of walking by faith. Amen? Because we can either walk by our senses, and we have senses, okay? Or we can walk by faith. And what does that mean? What does it mean to walk by faith? That's what I want to just hit on a few of these things. I mean, when look at it from this angle this evening, it'll help us in our faith walk. Amen? Because, you know what? We need to walk by faith.
Amen.
Amen? We need to walk by faith. That's what the Bible tells us. The just shall live by faith. There's no other way to live. Sometimes people say, oh, ministers live by faith. No, everybody's meant to live by faith. We're all believers. We've been given faith. We're meant to live by faith. That doesn't mean, you know, packing your job and live by faith. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying you live by faith. You live believing what God says above what your senses tell you. That's living by faith. Some people don't understand what faith is. Some people think faith is, you know, what denomination you are. You know, that's what people think. What faith are you? It's not about what faith you are. It's about living by the faith of God. You know, Paul said, it's no longer I who lives, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, that's now here in this natural world with our senses and everything. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave his life for me. Paul said, I'm living by the faith of God. And we know that faith is a gift that's been given to us. And faith allows you to believe. And simply, faith allows you to believe beyond your senses. Amen. It allows you to believe beyond what you can see and hear and taste and feel and all of your five senses. That's what faith allows you to do that. If you only live by your senses, it's like you're trapped to this world. Because we live in a sense world. And we're programmed by our senses from when we're a child. Do you know why? Because that's what we see. And you see, it's reality here. This is so real to us. Because that's what we see. And yet there's a bunch of things we can't see that are more real than the things that we see. And you know, God has put things even in the natural just to let us understand that. Like, you know, there's things that we can't see. There's things in this room. There's signals in this room. And people say, there's not because I can't see them. No, there's signals in this room. Just because you can't see them doesn't mean to say they're not here. There's information coming to your phone sitting beside you. You know, and it's in this room. You can turn your phone on and access anything. You know what I mean? From the internet. We don't see everything. There's waves that go through and we don't see them, don't even feel them, don't even know they're there, but they're there.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I'm telling you, there's things that are seen and things that are not seen. And then there's natural things that we see, and then there are spiritual things that we can't see. Amen. Just talk along these lines. It just keeps it in my mindset because I hear a lot of talk these days about, you know, I have to get closer to God. 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 And it can give you the impression that God's a million miles away. Amen?
Yes.
Now, there is a scripture in James that says, draw nigh unto God and he will draw nigh unto you. That's awareness. James is a very practical book. It's like the book of Proverbs to the New Testament. It's very practical. And so people were being worldly, and it was like they were. It puts it this way, they're like intimate with the world. And if you're intimate with the world, you'll have the world's babies, so to speak. The ideas and the philosophies of this world, it'll be in you. You'll carry it and then you'll birth it. So when you're intimate with the world, that's what you're going to be birthing. But if you're intimate with God, you're going to be, you know, drawn from him, having his vision, purpose, destiny for your life. And so when people can be saved and in their everyday life can just be like everybody else.
Yeah.
The Bible calls that a carnal believer. And some people think just because someone's not really on their A game that they couldn't be saved. Well, let me tell you, if a person truly has made Jesus the Lord and Savior for life, they're saved. They could be a carnal believer. Like the church in Corinth, they were carnal. Go and read it. But here, it lets you know at the beginning, they're in Christ. They're saved. But they're living by their natural senses. So they get offended like everybody else. You know what? They were taking people to court. Brothers taking brothers to court. They had one guy was, you know, sleeping with his stepmother or whatever. And, you know, there was all of these natural things that were going on. But these people, they were living by their senses. There was division. One, I'm of Apollos. I'm of Paul, the real spiritual ones. Well, I'm only of Jesus. You know, but not saying that, you know, you follow them as they'll follow Christ. You know what I mean? There wasn't division. Jesus wasn't saying, you know what, follow me, but don't listen to these other ministers. He was saying, I put these gifts in the body of Christ. But some people were just, even they're trying to be spiritual, they were in the flesh. Do you know what I mean? So we follow the apostle. Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ. If I'm not following Christ, you just keep following Christ. But God put gifts in the body to help us follow Christ. Paul was a Jesus man. Apollos was a Jesus man. Amen. Peter was a Jesus man. It's all about following Jesus ultimately, but some people just, everything, their whole tone is all division. But you know what it is? They're walking by their senses. See, you either walk by faith or you walk by your senses. Amen? That's why Corinthians said, don't see any man after the flesh. See, people either in Christ or not in Christ. You can know that someone's on a growth pattern, but aren't we all? Some people are not growing at the rate we want them to grow, but it doesn't mean they're not saved if they truly made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life. Some people are, oh, they mustn't be saved. But you know what? They might only be saved a wet week. And it's like a friend of mine one time told me he was brought up, he had a really bad upbringing. He had a really bad home. And he said to me one time, he said, someone that gets saved and comes from a good background, they can look like a Christian. Do you know what I mean? Because they had a good parents, they had a good family. They get saved. It's like as if they're welcomed into the club straight away. They didn't have a past. He said to me, he says, here's where, he told me, he says, that person there that got saved came out of a good family. He says, that's where they are. He says, that's a way back there. I didn't even know how to relate to people. I hated everybody. So he said, I had a lot of renewing of my mind to do. And he said, you didn't see a big change in my life outward because I had chips on my shoulder. I had a whole chip shop on his shoulder. You know what I mean? He had a whole lot of things that he was dealing with. But he said, but I got saved. Something happened to me. But some people didn't give him time to grow. But you know what? See, after a period of time, it took years, people started to see, hey, something really did happen to that person. And you know what? He outpassed a lot of people because he started living by faith. Amen. He started living by the Word of God. He put his nose in the Word of God. And as the Word of God started to transform his mind so that he started to transform out here. And people then started to see it definitely was something happened to that fella because that's not the same fella that used to terrorize the neighborhood and was a menace to society. But that was the way he explained it. He said, you know, we both got this exact same salvation, but my mind and his mind were in two different places. His upbringing and my upbringing. He had a good family, love, all them things. I had none of that. He used to get a lot of abuse and different things like that. And it took him a long time. But God didn't stop working on him. And I heard people say stuff like this all the time now. Oh, they're not saved. Let me tell you, it's a dangerous game to get into. Notice, I ain't leaving all of that to God. Amen. Doesn't mean to say I don't see where people are at and different things like that. But someone's salvation, I'm telling you, I'm not getting in that ball game calling somebody saved or not saved. Who genuinely came and said, I made Jesus the Lord and Savior from life. Because some people want them to be at their level and they're maybe saved 20 years and that person got saved a week. So it's amazing how people forget. It's like we forget what it was like when we were teenagers sometimes because we get used to the age that we are. That you look at them and say, get a grip. When we were that age, it was get a grip too. Amen. Yeah. But here's the point I was making was this. Some people have this idea, I have to get close to God. I have to get close to God. That's not my starting place. My starting place is I'm as close to God as I'll ever be. You can't get any closer than I'm moving in. Yeah. Amen. So in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave you, and I will never forsake you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is so strong. I tell you, you can't even put it into English how strong that actually is in the Greek language. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Oh, but I don't feel like God loves me today. Who cares?
Yeah.
Amen? Who cares? That's our feelings. I don't feel loved. You are loved. You're loved with the greatest love of all. Oh, but I don't feel it. Yeah, you're living by your senses.
Yeah.
You're not living by faith. You're living by how you feel, not what God says. Living by faith is believing what God says more than what you feel. I'm alone. No, you're not. Once you got saved, you'll never be alone again. You'll never be alone another second in your life. Do you know why? Because God is with you 24/7. You can feel lonely. But that's feelings. I feel lonely. And God says, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. But you see, people say, but I can't see God. Well, that's nothing got to do with it. I can't see the internet waves in here this evening, but that doesn't mean they're not here. That just means I'm going by what I see. And it's the same when you go to the Word of God and God's Word says something, and you go, well, I don't feel it, or I don't see it, I can't relate to it. That just means you're living by your senses. It just means that your senses are more real to you, or you're more tuned in to your senses than you are to what the Word says. Amen? But you know, the more you grow in the Word, you know, you start thanking God. God, I thank you'll never leave me and you'll never forsake me. Thank you, you're right with me right now. Lord, I'm facing this, but I don't face this alone. Lord, when I make this call, I'm not just making it, you're with me. Amen. I thank you, I draw from you right now. Amen. When I have this meeting, Lord, I draw from you. Lord, when I have to go into this office today, I draw from you. When I go to work today, Lord, I draw from you. You never leave me and you never forsake me. That's living by faith. It's not what denomination are you. Amen. It's, do you live by your senses or do you live by faith? Do you see, when you live by faith here, it goes on in verse 6 to say, you know, I'll never leave you and I'll never nor forsake you. It says, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. I will not fear. God's my helper. How do you get that boldness? Because you believe he'll never leave you and he'll never forsake you. Why can you be content with such things as you have? Because you've got God with you. He's your provision. It's not saying be content with what you have and never believe God for anything better. That's not what it's saying. It's saying you've God with you. Praise God, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, I shall not lack. Lord, the Lord's with me, he leads me beside the still waters, he makes me sit in green pastures. Amen. He's prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Even if I go through the valley of the shadow of death, he'll never leave me.
Amen.
Amen. I won't be afraid of his rod and his staff. They comfort me. Amen. You know, and goodness and mercy is following me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So what? I may be facing this, but I'm not going by what I see. I believe the Lord is my shepherd. That's walking by faith.
Amen.
Amen. And I will boldly say it. You see, if you are more persuaded with the Word of God than you are your senses, you will boldly say, I don't care what it looks like, the Lord is with me. That's faith. Amen. That's faith. I hate songs that leave you feeling at a distance. Draw me close to you, never let me go. He said he'd never leave you nor forsake you. I lay it all down again just to hear for my friend. I'm his child. And I love the tune of that song. I wish someone would write new words for that song about I am close to you. Amen. You'll never leave me. You'll never forsake me. I wouldn't sing that song. He paid me. I know I'm saying it right, but I wouldn't sing it as in, like, you know, in my everyday life, draw me close to you, because that's going to give me the awareness that God's way over there and I'm trying to get to him. I'm going to be like the proclaimers. I would walk 500 miles and I would walk 500 more, trying just to get to God. Na 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 na, No. And that's the way some people are living. They're Christian proclaimers. I'm trying to get to God. Why not just stop and say, He'll never leave me and He'll never forsake me? That's a starting place. In my everyday life, if I need to say, do you know what, I'm more worldly than, you know what, I'm spending more time doing this and not in the other. I'm not living with the awareness that God is with me. Well, then I can get rid of that and get into the Word of God. That's drawn nigh unto God, as in I'm going to realize what God's Word says, and I'm going to live by faith, not by my senses, because my senses at the minute, I'm so fleshly, I'm just living like everybody else, I'm so carnal, I'm going to get rid of that, I'm going to live by faith. There's only one way to do it, is cut certain things out and get your nose in the Word of God again, and you know what, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So that I'm more aware of what God says, I'm more aware of spiritual things than I am natural things. Amen. And people say, well, then why did God give me natural senses to begin with? Because we live in a natural body and we live in a natural world. You know, when you cross a road, yes, be in faith all the time, but you know what? Use your eyes as well. You don't just close your eyes, I'm in faith. Bang. Amen. No, you walk. You've got eyes in this natural world, you use them. God filled this planet full of beautiful things, things that are pleasant to the eyes, pleasant to the sight. We get to enjoy all of that. Thank God we get to see flowers and we get to see nature, and you know, you get to look at your spouse, and you know, you get to enjoy this world that we live in. You know, your eyes are made for seeing, not for believing. Your ears are made for hearing. Thank God we can hear things here. Beautiful music, hear conversations, talk with people. Thank God we've got ears that we can hear. Amen. And smell, and you know, it's nothing better when you see food present and looks lovely. And then you go, do you ever just want to go into the Chinese and say, do you see that smell that's coming out? Can you make that? That's what I feel like. Said, you know, it just smells nice. You're like, I don't know what it is, but can you put that on a plate? Our senses allow us to enjoy this world. It's the same with our emotions. You know, when you see things, it triggers your emotions. You know, you get to enjoy this world. It's not just, God just didn't make things bland and, you know, and we were emotional robots and stuff like that. We're not AI, we're human beings. Amen. So we can see things and feel things and experience things, and music does stuff to us. You know what, you listen to a beautiful song and it does something to you. It causes your emotions to get involved. So God made us so complex. Yet your eyes are not made for believing. They're made for seeing. Tongue is not made for believing. It's made for tasting. Hands are not made for believing. They're made for touching and feeling. Amen. Your nose isn't made for believing. It's made for smelling. But the Bible says, with the heart, you believe. Amen. You don't believe with your senses. And if you live not, if you're just a carnal person who just, you know, just lives life based on your feelings and your emotions, you'll be like everybody else in the world. You'll be afraid when everybody's afraid. You'll be down when everybody's down. You'll be watching the economy like everybody else. You'll be doing everything in life, just everything that everybody else does. You'll be moved by what you see, in other words. And I'm not saying we don't live with our head in the sand. It doesn't mean to say we don't plan. We're not stupid. But it's natural, okay? You can experience things in life. But you've God on the inside of you. You've God who said He would never leave you and He'd never forsake you. I mean, you can be facing something, your eyes are screaming at you. Your ears, your senses, your emotions, everything is screaming at you. But that there is whenever you start to see which is louder. Is your senses louder or is faith louder? Faith allows you to believe beyond what you can see. Amen. That's why your world can fall apart and you can be at perfect peace. And nobody understands it. And you say, well, I understand what I'm facing, but my God will not let me down. How can you say that? Because I believe what He says. He said he would never leave me and he'd never forsake me. That's faith. Amen. Amen. Draw me close to you. No, I'm... You never leave me and you never forsake me. You face that you need help, you never leave me and you never... Have you had to do it in faith? Have you had to do it when your back's against the wall and it looks like you're... It looks like, you know, the ground just opened up and you're in mid-air just waiting to just be sunk in, the trap door opened. And you stand there and you go, I don't care what it looks like, that trap door can be open. But Lord, you said you'd never leave me and you would never forsake me. And you are my helper. And I boldly say that you are my helper. And I will not fear what man can do unto me. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. If God be for me, who can be against me? Amen. What is that? That's the word is bigger in you than what these see. Amen. And there's lots of scriptures along these lines. Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. When you know, when these scriptures are alive in you, you're not going to turn around and say, God be with me. You're going to say, God, you are with me. Instead of asking, this is important, instead of asking for God to be with you, you're going to make a statement that, God, you are with me. Instead of asking God to be with you, I don't ask God to be with me. I don't say, you know, God, go with me in that sense, or, you know, all of those. I'm living with the awareness, and it's a conscious thing. Sometimes I have to make myself, because we all live in this world, and sometimes the flesh can start getting the better of you again, and you have to rein yourself in and say, what am I talking like that for? Why am I saying that? No, God, you are with me. Amen. Whenever I travel, I'm not, you know, traveling mercies. I'm not. I don't pray those things. You know what? When I get on the plane, oh Lord, be with me on the plane. No, he said he would be with me. I can get on the plane, you know, oh God, be with me, like as if he only showed up when I got on the plane. He was there when I was driving down the road to the plane. He was there when I was in the shower before I got dressed and, you know what, and lifted the suitcase. He was with me the whole time. When I drive up there, I just say, thank you, Lord, that you're with me in this plane. I'll always pray for the pilot. And who's ever beside him, I'll always pray that they're aware I'm on this plane, Lord. I thank you, Lord God, give them wisdom today as we fly. But I thank you're with me. When I sit down, you're with me. I always see myself like the way Paul the Apostle was whenever he was in the ship and everybody was saved because Paul was there. Amen. I'm not God be with me. I'm God, you are with me. And I think I'm going to sit down here and rest. You're with me. Praise the Lord. Amen. The Holy Spirit came to in John 14 to abide with us forever. That's forever. It longs forever, forever. Amen. See, it's all of these scriptures that fuel your faith whenever you face life. And these are just, I'm just doing this here just as just a thought just putting out here. It's just like, you know, it's like, have you ever lost your keys? Yeah. You thought you lost them, but they were in your pocket. Can't find my keys. I don't know where they are. Can't find my keys. They're with you the whole time. The glasses on top of the head. Where's my glasses? Are the best one? On the phone. I don't know where to put my phone. Yeah, have you done it or is it just me?
Just you.
Just me? On the phone talking. Look, where's my phone? Where's my phone? You're talking on the phone. That's the same thing. That's like saying, where are you, God? Where are you, God? He's there. He's there the whole time. Amen. When I was putting this message together, I don't know why I had this thought. So I've done this message years ago, this series, but not years and years ago, but a few years ago. And I don't know why I put this thought down at the time, but I thought, like, do you ever walk around the day and go, you know what, I don't feel my teeth, you know? No, your teeth are there. Only whenever I've mentioned it, that's probably when you have been aware that, you know, that you have teeth, unless you were like Donna had a tooth out this week, so she knew she had a, she's known all about her teeth the last couple of weeks, because there's not much pain there with it, with a tooth that was open, and she needed to get it out, and such relief. But you know, in January, you're not going, you know what, I don't feel my teeth, I don't have teeth. No, why you feel you have teeth or not, they're there.
Yeah.
You understand? Let me tell you why you feel, there's a lot of things why you feel or not. Let me tell you, this room is full of angels tonight, whether you feel like it or not.
Amen.
The power of God is in this room, whether you feel like it or not.
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Ghost is here. Where? I don't see no... He's here. He's in us. He's in us.
Amen.
Look, there's a difference between the indwelling presence of God and the manifested presence of God. You can be standing in a service and I'm telling you, it's like as if the whole atmosphere changes. I've been in services where it was like electricity went right through the room and you stood and the hairs in the back of your neck just went, boom. That was manifest, that was tangible. That's the manifested presence of God. But if you don't feel a thing, God is still here. And what do you do at that point? You don't say, oh, God mustn't be here, I don't feel anything. No, you need to live with such an awareness that you, when you walk into the room, you know God's here because I'm here, because God lives in me. The Holy Spirit moved in, he came to abide with me forever. So you can be in a room and everybody carnal in the room and you can be having the greatest time of your life in God because you're drawn from the Holy Ghost. You don't need to have a feeling out here. You have... I'll get to it as you go along. You have it's a spiritual knowing. Amen. Look, you'll not walk by faith accidentally. You have to do it consciously. If you want to be a person of faith, there's only one way you're going to be a person of faith, and that's through the Word of God. Because faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. That is the only way you can be a person of faith. It's amazing how many people, their answer is in the book and they won't open it. They won't open it. And so know what they're aware of? They're more aware of the problem than they are the promise. They're more aware of natural things than they are spiritual things. Just think about it. We live in a natural world. I'm telling you, you don't open your Bible for a month, you'll be as carnal can be. That doesn't mean to say you're going to be... See, people think carnal, that means then I must be having an affair or something, or you know what, I'm going to be, you know, drinking the head off myself, and you know what, I'm going to be, you know, just saying all bad stuff and all that. That's what they think carnal is, and that is carnal, okay? But carnal is just being aware of your senses more than you're aware of faith. Yeah. And the things of God. You can be a good person naturally. Okay? Sometimes people say, oh, nobody's good. Yes, nobody in themselves is good, but naturally I'm talking. You can be a good person naturally. Our goodness comes from God. Amen. The fruit of the Spirit, you know, we have goodness there from God. Amen. That's God, what he's done in our lives. That's God making our lives of benefit and stuff like that. But you can be a good person and be carnal. Because you just live your life based on the limitations of your natural, your education. You know, you just live like everybody else. You go to work and you're just like everybody else. There's nothing different. Just like everybody else. That is carnal. A faith person's believing, God, you're with me. God, all things are possible with you. God, you can cause me to accomplish things that's beyond me. God, you could use my life in a great way, God. You know, God, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but you're a great God. What could you do with me, God? God, I yield my life. Do you do something? That's faith. That's faith. That's believing God beyond your senses. I know in my life, to believe God for what just to follow the path that I have and to minister the gospel. That took faith for me to do that, because I couldn't spell a thing hardly in school. I couldn't even read in school. And then God tells you to stand up and speak. I remember standing up in front of didn't he make it to the front of the class when the teacher asked me, this is like a 16, 17 years of age, asked me to come up and read in business studies whenever I was doing art. And I threw the book at the teacher to get out of reading, because I couldn't read. It would have been a laugh. Everybody would have laughed at me if I'd have stood up there and read. And then God put my heart to minister. And I just went to God and I said, God, if you're serious here, and I just talked really real. I says, God, if you can do something in my life, this is what I said, fair play to you. I was real. There was no religious prayer. There was no, oh, thine Father. No, it was, Father God, are you really doing this in my life? You may confirm this. And so every person, not every person, but I'd go to a meeting and some speaker would come over from the off side of the world and say, young man at the back there, you stand up. Yeah, there's a call of God in your life. You will preach the gospel, blah, 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 blah. And I'd be going, okay, God. It kept happening over and over again. Everywhere I went, crowd, and people never met me in my life, called me out, read my mail. And I knew, God, you've called me. I knew you called me in here. The Bible says you can war a good war for them with the prophecies that have been spoken over you. So I knew that. And then I was able to say, God, you confirmed that. I know that. That's definitely you, Lord. But you know what? If God can use the base things of this world and the foolish things of this world, it's because the foolish things and the base things of this world believe God, that God, you could do something with my life. God called you. God equips you. Amen. He equips you. He makes you. Follow me. I'll make you a fisher of men. Follow me. I will make you. That takes faith. To say, God, if you've put it in my heart, I'm believing you. That's faith. Being carnal and saying, I'll never be able to do it. I couldn't do this. I couldn't do that. You know, look at where I came from. You get like Gideon.
Yeah.
I'm the least. Well, God's an expert at taking the least.
Yes, amen.
And doing something great with the least. But it takes faith. Paul was the least deserving of all the apostles, yet he was the most effective. Amen. But Paul did it by faith. It takes faith to do everything that God's called us to do. Do you see, when you got born again, your spirit came alive.
Amen.
And it's like as if you are plugged into God, plugged into the spiritual arena. You become, the Bible says that you become one with God. Not that you're God, but you're synced now. You're in unity with God in your spirit. Your mind could be other places. Your body could be doing Herbie. But your spirit now is connected. The Bible says that he that's joined to the Lord is one spirit. You're synced. You have the Holy Ghost in you.
Yes.
Amen. You're connected to God. You're connected to a whole new realm of possibility that you weren't connected to before you got saved. Before you get saved, you're just a mere man. You're just a natural person. You're just limited to your senses. When you get born again, you're now plugged into God to where all things are possible. But all things are possible to those who believe. Faith is your connection, amen, with all of God's possibility, instead of being limited. So you speak bold when you're in faith. It's not arrogance. It's a boldness in, God, I believe you. God, I believe you. I believe what your word says. Amen, I believe it. I always like to say, it's like in the Spider-Man films, Peter Parker was just a nerdy kind of a fella. Just an ordinary fella in the class. Didn't stand up. Had nothing special. Actually, everybody pushed him about and all the rest of it. Until he was bit by a radioactive spider. And his body went through a change. And now he has abilities that he didn't have before that experience. And now he has this sense that they call Spidey sense. What did he get? He got a sixth sense. And I'm telling you, before you're saved, you have your five senses. But when you get born again, you have like a sixth sense, which is faith, that allows you to believe no matter what these five say. Amen? To where you believe God regardless of what these five say. That's faith. We live in two worlds as believers. We're in the kingdom of God. We can't see it. Amen? We're connected to God. We can't see Him. I haven't seen Him, the Bible says, but I love Him. Why? Because I know Him. I haven't seen Jesus, but I know Him. You haven't seen Him, but you know Him. I'll tell you, if somebody came and said, you know what, you're not saved, you would be, it's not like you're going to fight with someone, but you would be like, I am saved. So how do you know? Have you seen Him? No. But what's on the inside of you is more real than what's on the outside. That's faith. Amen. Based on the word I'm talking. That's faith. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'll just end with this scripture this evening. Hebrews 11 verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it is the evidence, the proof of things what? Not seen. Faith is your proof. Amen. Faith's your proof. You know, I was talking to a fellow, myself and Donna was talking to a fellow there a few weeks ago. He does a lot of traveling, does a lot of things. He done his back in big time. I mean, so bad that he was in pain 24/7. He was paying big money, you know, to go and see private people to try and help sort him out. They had done everything to him trying to sort him out. He got a phone call from someone, I can't remember the full story off the top of my head, but he got a phone call from someone and they spoke, just said, you're on my heart today in prayer, and God told me just to share something with you. Just spoke faith to him. Just spoke faith to him. Just talked to him about faith. And he said, I seen it that the fella said something like, if I came and I give you something, would you have it or would you not have it? He says, I would have it. And he said, well, he just turned around and said, well, do you know what? The Bible says that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. He said, I had been like basically begging God to heal me and praying and doing everything. He says, I was doing everything. I was even begging and saying those scriptures. He said, but I didn't believe I had it because I had so much pain. And he said, and you know what, when that man said that to me, he says, stuff I know. He says, but I took it as a revelation, he says, and I started to change what I said. He said, I started to see that Jesus already paid the price for my healing, already took stripes in his back for my healing, and I stopped saying, God, heal me, and I started saying, I am healed. Well, he was moving and bending and up and down. He says, I can do absolutely everything. He said that healing manifested in a short space of time, and he had been going to people because of the pain 24/7, he had been going to people to try and fix and manage the pain. He said, I was in so much pain. He says, to look at me, you'd have cried. He said, and I was crying with the pain. And he says, and even the people dealing with me were near crying, seeing the pain that I was in. But he said, but I knew I had to start walking by faith. And instead of talking like healing wasn't mine, I started talking like I already am the healed. Amen. Wow. I am the healed. By his stripes, I am healed. In other words, he started making statements beyond his senses. See, people say, that's lying. No, it's two different realities. You can say, I have pain in my body. Faith is not a denial. You can say, I'm sore. I'm sore in my back, I'm sore in my neck, I'm sore, wherever it is. Your faith is not a denial. Faith is not saying, I'm not sick, I don't have pain. If you have pain, you have pain. Yeah. But it's in the natural realm. Yeah. Faith deals with it from the spiritual realm and says, I am healed. Amen? See, this is a natural fact, you could call it. But this is the truth. And the truth trumps fact. facts.
Amen.
That's why you can be depressed and start saying, "I have the joy of the Lord. I have the." Are you lying? No, because you have the joy of the Lord in your spirit. And you see, the more aware of the joy of the Lord you become aware of, I'm telling you, it'll trump that. Big, oh, I'm depressed, I'm this, I feel this, my emotions, whatever. You're in the senses. And that can be real, and it's very real, Dorothy. You know what that's like. But you got a revelation of faith, and you realize that faith can change that.
Amen.
Amen, and it changed your life. Why? Faith. What is it? It's one is facts. Facts change all the time. Natural things change all the time, but the truth never changes. And every time you go to the Word of God, it'll say, "By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed." Every time, "By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed." Faith gets in agreement with that. Faith meditates on that until that's more real. That's walking by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Faith means you're more aware of this than you are of the senses. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, we'll get back to that the next time. Because the Bible says, "Why we look not at the things that are
seen,
but at the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal, subject to change, changing all the time. But the things that are not seen are eternal. Eternal truth. I'd rather base my life on it than natural things."